Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to remind us of some words we just heard from Isaiah. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are mine. This is a hard morning at St. Albans. As many of you have heard by now, our director of music, Sonia Sutton, who has brought transcendent beauty to our worship for 20 years, will be leaving our community next week. Many of you are understandably saddened by the news. I am too. Others of you are angry. Some are frightened. Yesterday, we had a long vestry meeting, which two parishioners attended as observers. We were hoping to roll out the new strategic plan, but guess what? We didn't get to it somehow. When I gave the parishioners the chance to speak, one of them stood up and said she was there to figure out, quote, what on earth was happening in this parish, which she loves. And I am sure that many of you feel the same way. I had the great pleasure of singing under Sonia's direction when the choir went on pilgrimage to Wells, and I experienced her there as an encouraging, patient, spiritual leader who consistently taught us to sing together better than we thought we could, and who was gracious even when we did not. This is a real loss for our parish, and particularly for our singers. But this is also a good day at St. Albans. Down the road at the little sanctuary, our Spanish-speaking members are jubilant about our decision to call Debbie Kirk as a part-time assistant rector to pastor them and to help them us all continue to form rich relationships even through our language difficulties. And it's even a joyful day at St. Albans because at our last service, Cece Butcher, one of our teenagers, chose to be baptized. Cece had been discerning this decision for 3 years in conversation with Matthew, whom she asked to be her godfather, and with her fellow youth, who have shown her the best that Christian community can be. I think this is what my friend and colleague Jim Quigley would call a complex preaching environment. What I want to say to you this morning is what I said to Cece. Christian community is a good, strong, joyful thing, and it is also the hardest thing on earth. It will stretch you and challenge you and push your buttons and make you gasp with joy and bring you to your knees. We've all experienced the deep trust that we have in one another here, and also how we've had to work for it. Because even though all of you are great, not one of us is perfect. And we're all old enough by now to know that it is possible for good people acting under the best of intentions to get things wrong. And then you end up with a room full of tears. But it is still better than not having Christian community. It is still better than not having Jesus and not having the people who love him. Like you, like some of you, like Cece, I made my decision to follow Jesus when I was old enough to choose for myself. And in the 20 years since, I have seen hard things and beautiful things and painful things and miraculous things. And I would not trade any of it, even for all the world. Today is the feast of the baptism of our Lord, and so we find ourselves back with John the Baptist, whom we thought we had left safely in the early weeks of Advent, the wild man who comes roaring out of the wilderness, dressed in stinking hides and popping locusts into his mouth, to call the people of Israel to serve their God. I want to spend some time with him today because of all the people who know the blessings and the weight of community. The prophets of Israel know it best. The prophets were the lovers of Israel. They were the men and women who were so close to God that they saw the beauty even of a faithless people, and who saw the brokenness even in a beautiful people, and who had to say the hard, true things that would bring them home. And so John the Baptist goes to the people, talking about threshing floors and winnowing and unquenchable fire. Let me ask you, do you think those were easy things for him to say? Let me remind you, the prophets were the lovers of Israel, and it is never hard, never easy to say hard things to those you love. Prophets are the people who see the suffering of their fellow human beings so acutely that they are no longer able to be silent about the indifference that allows it to continue. Over and over, they thrust into our faces the unpleasant realities that our relationships are broken, our communities are being damaged, and that we need to name those things, repent, and find a different way forward. That is what we are doing when we decide to be baptized. We are renouncing the callous ways we too often treat one another, and we are setting our feet into the path of Christ. That is what has happened here this week. Over the course of the last 4 years, Sonia and I have been unable to find a way to work together that is fruitful for our parish. Someone whom I respect very much emailed me early this week, and right after the announcement came out, and said, "People of God are supposed to find a way to work these things out." I agree. And we were not able to. The tension and dysfunction in that relationship have damaged the staff and are actively degrading the quality of our community, undercutting both our ministries and our trust in one another. The decision that Sonia would leave is deeply sad, and I am sorry for it. I have cried over this situation for years. But it is necessary for us to be able to reclaim healthy ways of being together, joyful ways of doing ministry together, and deep ways of trusting one another. There was no other path forward. But the prophets remind us that with God, all things are possible. There is always a way forward. It may involve going through some deep water. It may involve walking through pain as great as fire, but God is with us. God's light is in us. God's spirit is working in us. And God's way is to bring new life out of death, new growth out of our bitter losses, new hope out of even our darkest hours. In the words of the great Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, there is an eternity of love hovering over moments of anguish. At the bottom, there is light. And I will add that the darkness does not overcome it. When we go to the waters of baptism, we promise that we will seek that light, come what may. We will seek the light of God who is already seeking us. We all know that it is hard to see when we're in a dark place, but it is equally hard to see when you leave the dark room and enter a place where bright sunlight is pouring in. It is possible to be blinded by the light, to be surrounded on all sides by the deep and abiding love of God, and not to be able to see it. But it is there. It always has been there, and it always will be. When Jesus went down into the waters of the Jordan to be baptized by that hairy, smelly prophet, the Holy Spirit came down upon him, and he heard a voice saying, "You are my son, my beloved. when Cece stepped up to the font, when Matthew poured water over her head, I told her to listen for those words in her heart. You, listen for those words in your heart. You are my beloved. Open yourself to the Holy Spirit. Open every pore of your being to the Holy Spirit, because God is pouring himself upon you in love. It is not likely that the heavens will visibly open here this morning. It is not likely that the roof of this church will be torn off, and the property committee is really grateful for that. But the heavens are open for you today. There is no gap between us and God today. And if you look around this room full of people, you can see the very faces you will see gathered around God's altar in eternity. Do it. Turn around and look for a minute. Look at your community. Because there is only one altar, and only one God, and only one beloved community. And whether we are here at St. Albans or far away, we are never far from one another or from God. Now, that does not mean you will never face a hard thing. In fact, it makes it more likely, because the people of God are people of courage who face into what is broken in order to bring life. Amid all the complexities of this weekend, we rolled on with our Tres Reyes celebration yesterday. And while I was there, I spoke with Felicia Ball, a young woman of about 20 who grew up here just like you, some of you, some of your children, and who's now a college student in Syracuse. When we were talking, she said that before she went to college, she hadn't given much thought to Syracuse, to the city she was visiting. But when she got there, she found that it's one of the poorest cities in our nation. And she told me about how the university functions as a bubble, a place where most of the students live comfortable lives and do not interact with the surrounding community, which frightens them. But Felicia and her friends did not want to stay in the bubble. Instead, they have started a youth mentorship program, recruiting students to go out into that scary city and work with teenagers one-on-one, and keep them in school, and keep them out of harmful practices, and listen to problems they don't even know how to begin to solve, but to show those kids they are not alone. That's what a disciple does. They go where the pain is, and they make it better. They make it better. And it is always a choice. There is a verse from Deuteronomy which echoes as a refrain through the service on Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement. God says to Israel, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, that you and your descendants may live. God sets before us a life of mixed experiences. Life and death, blessings and curses, good things and bad. We all seek to ensure that we will see more of the good than of the bad. We fatten our savings accounts and wear seat belts and run genetic tests on our unborn children. But in spite of all our careful preparations, we cannot really choose what we will confront in our lives or when. We can choose how we will respond. We can blame others, or we can ask forgiveness. We can reach out to our fellow parishioners in anger or in friendship. We can dwell in bitterness, or we can choose to live in such a way that we get back our spiritual friendships tenfold. This day, as any other, God sets before us the choice: life and death, blessings and curses. Cece chose the way of blessing. But for all of us, that choice is not a one-time thing. God's choice is irrevocable. But we have to choose that path each day, sometimes even each hour. Jesus came to be our way, our truth, and our life. And it's up to us to walk in that way to proclaim that truth even when it takes us to difficult places, to live that life come what may. But we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, and when we still our hearts and make him quiet, we are able to hear again the words God says to us this morning. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I love you.